have a very special message from the book of Romans, chapter 8. The book of Romans, chapter 8. I want you to listen carefully. Please listen carefully. Please hear every word from the Lord tonight. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now listen to me carefully. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Would everybody say that with me? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. I don't hear you. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, that doesn't diminish the fact that he's a person himself. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. No ifs, no ands. Three members of the Godhead. Three persons in the Godhead. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. But there's something unique about the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Something that everybody needs to know and make sure you understand. And that is that the Holy Ghost emanates the presence and the power and the grace of the Father and the Son. The Father's on his throne. The Son is at his right hand. The Holy Ghost is in his church and in this world to make known everything the Father is and the Son is, and to emanate it through us, the church, throughout the world. Amen. Do you hear that? I want to say that again. The Father's on his throne. The Son is at his right hand. The Holy Ghost is in the church, which is in the world. The Holy Ghost is not of the world, and he's not in worldly people, and he's not in unconverted people. He's in the sanctified. He's in the saints, the true saints of God. The Holy Ghost is in the true saints of God to emanate everything the Father is to the world, to make real, to make manifest, to make known everything the Father is to the world. So that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father and the Spirit of the Son. Now, I literally intended to spend a lot of time. I didn't get that time to go through the Bible and count the times it speaks of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of God, or speaks of the Holy Ghost as the Spirit of Christ. But the Holy Ghost is indeed the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're full of the Holy Ghost, your life will emanate the presence and the life of Jesus, and men will see it in you. They will hear it from you. You will be an example of Christ. You will make Christ real to people who see you, who know you, who listen to you. And if you're not making Jesus real to others, you're not really full of the Holy Ghost. Amen? If you're full of the Holy Ghost, your life is making manifest the person and presence of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's why the Holy Ghost is in you. He's not in you just to give you a little jubilation. He's not in you just to give you some good emotions. He does. He really does give you good emotions. I'd rather sense the presence of the Holy Ghost than anything else that ever happens in my life. Take not your spirit from me, Father. You make manifest yourself and your Son when your spirit manifests himself in me. And it's the most happy, joyful feeling on the face of this earth. And so Jesus Christ is emanated from you by the power of the Holy Ghost upon you and in you and flowing from you. And that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost in your life. He's in your life so that this world will see Jesus. He's in your life so this world will hear the gospel. He's in your life so this world will experience miracles. He's in your life so that everything God is and Jesus is can be revealed to everybody that knows you and sees you and hears you and is around you. You can know how much of the Holy Ghost you have by how much of Jesus is revealed in you. You can know how much of the Holy Ghost you have by how much of Jesus is revealed in you. Can I say that again? Have you heard me? You can know how much of the Holy Ghost you have by how much of Jesus is revealed in you. Jesus will be revealed in a person full of the Holy Ghost. And if they walk in the Holy Ghost and don't get out of the Spirit, there will never be any of that ugliness and viciousness and carnality and worldliness that is manifest in the world. That's why you know that worldly people are not Holy Ghost filled people. They can say it till they turn blue, but they can't prove it because there's no evidence of it. Because the life of the Holy Ghost will clean you up and make you look like Jesus. Make you look like Jesus. I don't mean the person of Christ. I mean the love of Christ, the compassion of Christ, the gentleness of Christ, the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit, not fruits. The Bible said the fruit, all is one. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what will shine in you and reveal Christ from you. And men will know there's something different about you. And it'll be remarkably different. It will be gloriously different. That's why when somebody gets saved, you immediately see a different appearance on their face. The face of Yvette lit up Friday night. And it was still lit up this morning and again tonight. Because that's what the Holy Ghost does in you. When he comes in and redeems you and saves you and changes you, he makes Christ manifest in you. He makes Christ real in you. He shines Christ through you. You'll make others want him. You'll make others desire him. If people watch you and don't desire Jesus, you need to work on your life. No, you need to let Jesus work on your life by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Oh, did I not read my text? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8. Let's begin reading with verse 8. Listen carefully. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, you see the difference between what the Spirit does and what your old flesh does, didn't you? Didn't take long to see that. That verse is powerful. So then, they that are in the flesh. That's when you're angry. That's when you're jealous. That's when you're envious. That's when you're finding fault. That's when you're criticizing anybody, including the pastor or the members. That's when you're just full of yourself. You're mouthy. You hang around people who are mouthy and critical and all out of whack. Oh, no. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, boy, that word, who preached on that word, if? I remember somebody preaching on that, and it was good. If, notice again, but you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, every time you see that capital S on Spirit, okay? You can easily say that Holy Ghost. Same thing. Capital S in Spirit means the Holy Ghost. And if any man have not the Holy Ghost of Christ, the Holy Ghost of Christ, he is none of mine. He is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost in you, is life because of righteousness. Woo! Oh, what scripture. Great. Now you don't need to do anything but read this. It preaches itself. If you're listening, it really does. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead. Now listen, if the Spirit, that's the Holy Ghost, which raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, then the Holy Ghost that dwells in you, hallelujah, shall also quicken your mortal body. Woo. Why do Christians jump around so happily? Why do Christians throw their hands up and shout hallelujah? Why do Christians feel so alive and so excited and so full of delight? Why are you so joyous, Sister Yvette? Why are you so happy, Brother Tim? Why are you a different person, Brother Kenny, the new Brother Kenny? Why? Why? I'll tell you why. The Spirit of life that raised up Jesus from the dead, the Holy Ghost, now lives in you as a born-again Christian, and He quickens your mortal body. He makes it alive. He makes it alive. He makes it alive by His Spirit that dwelleth, by the Holy Ghost that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. If you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. But if you through the Holy Ghost do mortify. Anybody know what mortify means? That means put them to death. That old ugly nature, put it to death. That old mouthy nature, put it to death. That fault-finding nature, put it to death. That love for the world, put it to death. That love for things that you have no business with, put them to death. I'm telling you, this church world is so worldly, you don't even know that they've been around a church that's biblical and full of the Holy Ghost because of how they live. I'm here to tell you, that worldly religion didn't come from God, because if the Holy Ghost dwell in you, He will mortify the deeds of the body. Huh. You mean He'll stop you from cussing? Cursing, whatever you want to say. He'll stop you from smoking? You mean He'll stop you from fornicating? You mean He'll stop you from being carnal and fleshy? You mean He'll take you out of the worldly dens of questionable repute? Do you mean He'll clean you up, not let you get away with nothing? I sure do. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. We're talking about what the Holy Ghost does to magnify Jesus in your life. We're talking about what the Holy Ghost does to magnify Jesus in your life. For if you live after the flesh, I missed verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. If you follow your deeds of your old flesh, you're going to die. If you live like the flesh wants you to live, you're going to die. Well, just like He said to Adam and Eve, they didn't die the same day, but it didn't take long. And one of their sons killed the other to show them that death was very real. They didn't even know what death was to one of their sons killed the other son. That would have never happened if they'd never sinned. That would have never happened. So if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Woo! Hallelujah. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Holy Ghost of God, they are the sons of God. Boy, when you say that word Spirit as Holy Ghost, which is absolutely the same, that verse comes alive. Did you hear that? But as many as are led by the Holy Ghost of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have not received the bondage again to fear. You have not received the bondage again to fear. Did you hear that? I'm afraid. Don't be afraid. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Who knows what Abba means? It's a word for our Father. Abba, Father. My Father. My daddy-like Father. Hallelujah. My daddy-like Father. You got a daddy-like Father. You got a Father with a daddy disposition. You got a Father with a daddy inclination. You got a Father with a daddy feelings about you. He loves you. Ready to do things for you. You maybe have had a bad daddy and you don't know about this. But a good daddy is a daddy who will do almost anything that's right for his children. Or for his grandchildren, by the way. Because he loves them. Well, we've got a daddy, heavenly Father. Don't call him daddy now. I don't like that way of addressing him. But I don't mind using it to describe him. He's a daddy-like father. But you call him Father, my heavenly Father. Father, help me preach tonight about your Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Anoint me with the Spirit of the Heavenly Father, that I can say the right things and speak the right things and do the right things in Jesus' name. I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Now listen to me. I want to say this again. I said it earlier. You got to hear it. Very, very important. A person full of the Holy Ghost will emanate. That means proceed out of you. Will emanate from you. Will emanate of you. The very life of Jesus Christ. The very life of Jesus Christ will emanate and flow from every person full of the Holy Ghost. The reason Jesus told his disciples, tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He wasn't talking about power just to be a superman. He wasn't talking about power just to heal the sick. Although that's part of it. He's talking about power for you to be a new creature. For power for you to pray a new way. Power for you to sing with a new disposition. A power for you to love with a new love. Power for you to have a new joy. Power for you to be so full of God that you become contagious. Don't you like that? Contagious Christianity. Contagious Christianity. Nothing is more beautiful than contagious Christianity. The kind that makes you so full of Jesus. Now, if on your job, they look at you and think about you as nothing but a hard boil. Somebody that always is trying to boss everybody. Somebody that can get mad in a minute and kind of lose your cools. They see you as somebody who's always out of kilter and kind of, you know, up in the air, as we would call it, and things are all messed up, and there's no love, and there's no big smile, there's no big joy. You need to do something about it, because they're going to think you don't really know Jesus, and that you're not really a Christian if they don't see Jesus in you. In fact, they'll be quick to criticize you. They really will. Let Jesus flow in your life. Let Jesus be real. Because that's the reason the Holy Ghost has come to dwell in you. Now, there's a lot of things. I could preach a lot of sermons on this sermon. And I'm gonna be brief tonight, I think. I'm planning to be. So may the Lord help me. Now, let's talk about the things that the Holy Ghost will manifest in you as a Christian. The first thing that's so important is he will manifest a love of God in you. He will manifest a love of God in you. Probably the first criticism you will hear as a new Christian, when you really begin to show how much you love God, how much you love Christ, probably will be a warning that you're about to get overboard. You're about to go too far. You're about to become a fanatic. You're about to get so religious, nobody's going to want to be around you. That's the criticism you will probably hear. If you haven't heard that, you probably need to pray for more love. Because when the love of God really gets a hold of you and you become et up with it, I mean overwhelmed with it, I mean full of it, I mean flooded with the love of God, men and women will absolutely see it and hear it coming from you all the time. Woo! Hallelujah! The love of God will shine in a person full of the Holy Ghost. Because Jesus, the essence of Jesus is two things. Holiness and love. Holiness and love. And you get full of the Holy Ghost and the love of Jesus will be shed abroad in your heart. Paul said to the Romans, by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost comes to shed abroad the love of God. The Holy Ghost comes to fill you with the love of God so that the love of God becomes consuming in your life and you love him more than anything else in the world. There's nothing so wonderful as to be full of the love of God. And all your flesh and all your good nature and everything good about you can't love God as good as you need to love God. That's why God gave you the Holy Ghost, that he might shed abroad the love of God in your heart by the Holy Ghost. I think that's Romans 5:5. I won't try to go find it, but you can find it. I want you to know something, friend. The love of God will flood your soul if you're full of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It'll just flood you. It'll take you over. It'll dominate you. How many could throw up a hand and say, I love him with all of my heart. I love him deeply and profoundly. Come on, help me. Let's just love on him. Let's just tell him we love him. Let's just believe God by the Holy Ghost to shed abroad the love of God in our hearts. Until everywhere we go, men will see us full of the love of God. And let's pray he'll make us so full of the love of God that it will scare the sinner to death. That's what it does. A sinner who's enjoying their sins and their old wicked living, and you become an old-fashioned Christian. You become so full of God that it flows out of you, and they see you, and they see you loving God, and they know what they love, and it convicts them, friend. It disturbs them. It does. It's the greatest point and power of conviction in the world, probably, is the love of God in you, so real and so genuine that people see it and notice it, and it becomes conviction to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. May the love of God be shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. May the love of God be shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hallelujah. He gave it to you to shed abroad his love in you. He wants, you know, that's kind of beautiful. That God loves you so much. And God wants your love so genuinely. And God wants you to love him so richly and so beautifully that he sends you the Holy Ghost to enable you and to take that love of God from heaven and spread it over your heart and spread it over your emotion and spread it over your inner person and spread it over your mind and fill you so full of it that it makes you so in love with God that nobody can miss it. That's what the Holy Ghost comes to do. Oh, he comes to fill you with the love of God. That's how he manifests Jesus. You see, Jesus is absolutely the love of God manifest in a death and a resurrection and a return. The Lord Jesus came in the love of God to die for sinners. He became a sinner in your stead. He became a sinner in your place. Now, he didn't actually sin. It was imputed upon him. He took it by vicarious death. That word vicarious means without being a sinner, he became a sinner for you. You understand that? He did it. Why? Because he wanted to fill you with the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got to not stay there too long. God can't stay there too long. But God fill us with the love of God. Now, number two, the love of God fills you with the love for the church, for the house of God. I get amazed today how people just don't care a flip whether they go to church or not, and they still claim to be a Christian. I mean, I call people sometimes who I hear have gotten saved, and they'll say to me, well, we don't go to church. We're just being our own church. You can't be your own church. That's an impossibility. That's absolutely impossible. You say, but I believe they're saved. I don't believe they're really saved. I believe they just got religion. The spirit of religion will make you feel all kind of ways. But I'm telling you, the Bible says it very plain. These words in John 2:17, if you want to look them up, the zeal of thine house have eaten you up. That was about Jesus. That was a criticism of Christ. That was what they said about Jesus, because he was always winding up at the house of God. And when he got to church, they were putting on a show, merchandising their animals and their sacrifices to make money for themselves. He overturned their tables and turned that place into literally what do we call it? He really tore up their game, because the zeal of God's house had eaten him up. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ loved the house of God so intently. He loved the house of God with a fervor that was indeed beautiful. He allowed no blasphemy in the house of God. He allowed no crazy stuff in the house of God. He loved to go to the temple. You often see him in the synagogues and in the temples with a Bible in his hand and reading the great scrolls of the prophets. And he knew those prophets. He knew every word they had written. He could quote them verbatim. He knew it at 12 years of age. He argued with the doctors and the lawyers and out-argued them. They couldn't even touch his arguments because he loved the house of God. Everything that represents the house of God. Let me tell you something. You can always know the level of a person's Christianity by how they feel about church. You can tell it every time. You know by how they feel about church. If they care not whether they go to church or not, they're half-hearted and just careless and no devotion and no dedication. They can go from church to church like it's no problem, and they can float around like an iceberg and don't realize that they're lowering the temperature everywhere they show up. When I see those people show up, I automatically feel a chill go over me. Anybody else have that feeling? You don't? I'm the only one? It doesn't chill you? When people that are just absolutely wondrous. Oh, but listen to me. The Holy Ghost will place in you a love for the house of God that will consume you. I'll never forget getting saved, living 30 miles away down in the country, having to go to church sometimes on a bicycle. Having to get to church with a man who sold whiskey. Having to get to church any way I could. But I don't remember in all those years ever missing one service that I could help. 30 miles away. I love the house of God. How many of you love the house of God? You love the house of God. Hallelujah. How we raised our children to love the house of God. I remember when Terry celebrated 50 years without ever missing a Sunday in Sunday school. 50 years without ever missing a Sunday in Sunday school. Let me tell you something, folks. When you get in love with God and the Holy Ghost moves upon you and the Holy Ghost floods you and fills you and baptizes you, hallelujah. And when mama and daddy baptizes you before the Holy Ghost gets there, hallelujah, you'll love the house of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. What a joy. You see, I'm talking about what the Holy Ghost does to manifest Jesus in you. What the Holy Ghost does. He's the Spirit of Christ. You can no more have the Holy Ghost in you and not manifest the life of Jesus Christ. It is utterly impossible. It is utterly impossible. I don't care how much a person has a giddy way about them and how many times they talk in some incoherent words and syllables. If they don't follow Christ and love God and love the Father and love the house of God and love the saints of God and love the Word of God, I'm here to tell you, they don't have God's Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. I wish you'd raise your hand and ask God to fill you so full of the love of God, the love of the church, the love of the house of God, the love of His Word. Hallelujah. There are those of you sitting here who haven't missed nothing this week unless you were working, but you're glad to be in the house of God. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost, listen now, the Holy Ghost gives in you the wisdom of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, that needs to be preached as a sermon all by itself. I know that. So let me just touch the highlights of it. The wisdom of God is manifest in Jesus. He is the wisdom of God. Jesus Christ is so infinitely wise, so eternally wise, that every word of the Bible actually came from Him. And the Holy Ghost gave it to men of God who wrote the scripture. And every word. Jesus could have stood up at any time in His ministry, from the time He was born, right on through 12 years of age, right on through 33 years, and he could have quoted the whole Bible because he was the fullness of the Bible. The Bible said that Jesus was the fullness. In the volume of the Bible, he wrote and he spoke. The volume means the totality. He knew it all. Hallelujah. He also knew mathematics, and he knew all the, you know, the laws of the universe, and he knew everything about astrology, and he knew everything about the working of demons and devils. I mean, you study his life. There was nothing he didn't know. And the Holy Ghost came to manifest the wisdom of Jesus Christ in you. I was reading the other day a scripture that said, "My people perish for the lack of knowledge." My people perish for the lack of knowledge. You know, you find a Christian who's been saved, they've been born again, but they've never allowed the Holy Ghost to become real in their life. They may be in a church setting that rejects the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak it in tongues as the Spirit give utterance. And you talk to them about the Bible, you talk to them about doctrinal matters. It's amazing how ignorant the majority of them are. Are you aware of that? Listen to Open Bible Dialogue. Had a man call yesterday. He said, "I want to tell you something, Reverend Chambers. Sinners, Christians do keep on sinning." If you don't, I don't think he said these exact words. I'm paraphrasing because my brain's not sharp enough to remember exactly the way he said it. But he said, "Christians continue to live in sin." If you don't believe it, you read Romans chapter 7. Well, I thought he was going to stay on the line so I could talk with him. He hung up immediately. But I said, "Sir, what are you talking about? Chapter 7 doesn't deal with Christians. Chapter 7 is dealing with people under the law who was trying to live right by the law. They was trying to do right by the law. And Paul was showing them that in your flesh, you cannot live right just by keeping the word of God." But then you go to chapter 8, verse 1. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus." And you go right on through that great chapter 8, and he settles everything. He settles everything because Jesus is the wisdom of God, and the Holy Ghost in you is the wisdom of Jesus. And if you're dumb about the things of God, it's because you haven't sought the wisdom of the Holy Ghost in your life. If you'll live in your Bible and you'll stay on your face before God, you'll become wiser and wiser and wiser, and it will never end. As long as you live, you'll keep growing in the wisdom of God. How many want the wisdom of God in your life? Would you slip a hand way up high? I want the wisdom of God in my life. I want to live in the wisdom of God. I want to know the wisdom of God's things and God's matters and God's ministry. Woo! Hallelujah! Now listen, those of you who've just recently been saved, you live in this Bible. You pray for God to fill you with His Holy Ghost. I'll give you a minute, something else about that you want to hear. But you just let God have His way in your life, and you'll be amazed at how your wisdom will increase and go. I don't have as much wisdom as I ought to have. I'm not going to stand up here and brag about anything I know or have learned. But I'll tell you one thing. I remember where I started. I remember where I was when Jesus found me. I remember that I couldn't even read the first grade primer. I remember when I didn't know one scripture in the Bible. I remember when I didn't know one thing about living right, doing right. I didn't know one thing about handling money or anything else. I remember how absolutely ignorant I was in my early years. But God, by the Holy Ghost, has certainly brought me a peace. Long ways to go. We'll all agree with that. But the wisdom of Christ is manifest in a Holy Ghost-filled Christian. The Holy Ghost came to flood you with the wisdom of Jesus. The Holy Ghost came to flood you with the wisdom of Jesus. Are you getting that? Can you take that home with you? The Holy Ghost came to flood you with the wisdom of Jesus. Now, the Holy Ghost is the going forth of the love of Christ to a lost world. The Holy Ghost in you is the going forth, not just to flood you now. I talked about that a while ago. But the going forth of the love of God in you to a lost and devil hell bound world around you. God didn't put you in this world to be just a joyous person in yourself. He didn't put you here as a believer just to enjoy being a Christian. He put you here to be a light to a world in darkness and to shine toward the sinner, the sinner, the sinner. If you're not witnessing to sinners, there's something wrong with your Holy Ghost experience. If you're not a light to those that are lost, there's something wrong with your Holy Ghost experience. If you don't have any care for men and women who are lost, there's something wrong. Are we willing to admit that? We must admit that. Jesus died for sinners. He came in you through the Holy Ghost that you would be willing to die for sinners. You don't have to die the same way he did on a cross, but you can die daily by putting your will second and his will first. By ceasing the pleasures of your own desires and going for the pleasure of telling the world about him. You ought to enjoy the thought of knocking on doors in your community. You ought to enjoy the thought of going around where you live and telling people about Jesus. You ought to enjoy going up on the street of town, Charlotte, and passing out gospel tracts and witnessing for Christ. Everywhere you go, you need to become a witness for the Lord. Do you love sinners? Do you love sinners? Hey, do you love sinners? You can know how much of the Holy Ghost you got by how much you love sinners. Ooh, that's kind of tough. That's straight, but it's tight, but it's right, as some preachers say. You know how much of the Holy Ghost you got by how much you care about sinners. If you don't care a lick about the sinners going to hell all around you, don't claim no Holy Ghost baptism to me. If you don't care about your family members that are lost, don't claim no Holy Ghost baptism to me. If you don't care about the people you know around you where you work, and you could care less whether they go to heaven or hell, don't tell me you're full of the Holy Ghost. If you want to get full of the Holy Ghost, you start doing your best to love sinners. And I promise you, God will fill you with the Holy Ghost just so you can love sinners like you want to. Did you know that? Who was preaching? And he asked the question, why do you want the Holy Ghost? Oh, I want to feel joy when I go to church. I want to be happy once in a while. I want those wonderful feelings to go up my backbone and fill me with a special joy. That's okay to want the Holy Spirit for that, if that's kind of a secondary thing. The primary ought to be to make Jesus real in your world. To make Jesus real in your world. To make Jesus real in your world. Listen to me, saints of God. It's wonderful to be a Christian. I'm going to try to bring it to close. So be patient with me just a moment. Will you please? The Holy Ghost in you is for the redemption of lost men. I get amazed when I read in John where he talks about that you can forgive a sinner. And that by you forgiving a sinner, they will be forgiven by God. You got somebody that's really did you wrong. I challenge you to forgive them and to see what God might do in their life. I challenge you. I challenge you. Because your forgiveness as a godly saint, full of the Holy Ghost, is a step toward God's forgiveness of that same person. Hallelujah. Remember in the Old Testament when Job, in his sorrow, began to pray for those who had been his enemies and those who had come against him. And the Bible says because Job prayed for them, God turned his captivity into redemption. Hallelujah. Start praying for your enemy. You'll find it's wonderful. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. It's a blessing. It's a blessed thing. Now, the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to end with this. There's many, many points. The Holy Ghost only comes to fill and flood the Jesus that is in you. The Holy Ghost don't come just to baptize your flesh. He comes to baptize the Lordship of Christ upon your life. He comes to fill the Jesus that floods your soul. the Jesus you fell in love with, the Jesus that saves you, the Jesus that's done so much for you. The Holy Ghost comes to fill that Jesus in you with power and anointing and authority. So when you pray, you can take authority over the devil. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Would you quote that with me? Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You talk about power to redeem. You talk about power to make Jesus real. God's given you the Holy Ghost for just that reason. God's given you the Holy Ghost for just that reason. God didn't fill you with the Holy Ghost so you could just be happy. He did it. He wants you to be happy. He's the joy unspeakable and full of glory. He's peace that passeth all understanding. He's the most blessed voice you ever heard. One man was sent by the officers. He was a policeman. He was an officer. And he was sent by the higher authority to go and arrest Jesus. And he goes to get Jesus. And while he's there, it's during the seventh chapter of St. John. He hears Jesus saying things like, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the man then comes back to those officers without Jesus. And they say to him, why did you not arrest him? You know what his words were? Never a man spake like this man. He was overwhelmed. Would you like to overwhelm some old sinner this week with the love of Jesus in you? Would you like to overwhelm is the right word. Would you like to overwhelm somebody this week with the love of Jesus flooding out of you? How many of you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost so Jesus becomes real in you? Would you stand up? I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost so Jesus becomes real in me. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost so everywhere I go, I'm manifesting Jesus. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost so my family sees Jesus in me. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost so that old devil I work with sees Jesus in me. And I can show him the love of God. I can love him for Jesus. Next time you got somebody around you that's ugly and miserable, just turn around and love them for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Somebody tell him you love him. Now I want you to pray this week. I'm not even going to call you to the altar tonight because you're just as tired as I am. And I got up, I went, the wonderful Gans didn't leave till what, 3:30? 4:15? They really didn't want to leave. Just so wonderful. Just such precious people. They left and I'm weaving, you know. And I go get in my chair and I go to sleep instantly. I think it was. That's all I remember. It had to be instant, didn't it? I don't remember nothing. Well, I didn't sleep long because I knew I had to come get ready to preach. I had a sermon on my heart, but hadn't done a bit of study. I didn't have a note, didn't have nothing. I had to come get ready to preach. So I woke up in what, 30 minutes, maybe 40. And I remember laying there in that chair, and I thought, my heaven, what is wrong with my body? I'm only 78. Why do I feel like I've been run over by a Mack truck? I mean, I was thinking, why do I feel like this? I'm dead meat. I'm going to call everybody and call off church. I didn't say that. Hallelujah. I just jumped up and said, I'm going to get ready to preach. Glory, and man, have I enjoyed preaching. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is God's word. This is the capstone of the week. Hallelujah. What a joy. What a joy, church. If you're really hungry, throw your hand up while Brother Jim plays and sings. Holy Ghost, come. Walk among us. Walk among this congregation. Enter this place next Sunday morning until sinners get up and run down these altars. Hallelujah. Nobody can take it lightly. Oh, I'm telling you, I preached the word of God tonight. I know the Holy Ghost gave me this before I crawled out of my bed this morning. Hallelujah. I want you to know something. He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost, and he's got good reasons for it. That Jesus, excuse me, might become real in your life. Let's pray. Father, I love you. Father, I love you. Father, I'm giving all I am to you. I'm calling everybody in this church to spend 1 hour every day in prayer this whole week. 1 hour every day in prayer. Praying for God to so fill us with the Holy Ghost that we will become giants of the love of God, of the redemption of Christ, of the power of prayer, that God will make us a blessing. Hallelujah. Brother Marlon, he's real. He's real. The Holy Ghost is real. Hallelujah. Thank God for the hunger. The hunger I see with people recently saved. Wonderful. It's real. It's real. It's real. I know it's real. Sing.
Fill my cup, Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord.
I lift it up, Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord. Raise your hands. Ask him to fill your cup. Thirsty. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bread of heaven. Feed me.
Feed me till I
want no
more.
Fill my cup.
Fill it up.
And make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord.